Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Cosmic Gaia Radio. It's Laura Eisenhower. I hope everybody is doing great. I am wanting to discuss the eclipses because they are coming up. We have an eclipse on July 2nd, a solar eclipse, 2019. Yes, we are in year 2019. And basically, this is a Cancer Capricorn eclipse window. It is going to take us into a partial lunar eclipse in Capricorn on July 16th to 17th. And the final eclipse on this axis will occur on July 5th to 6th in 2020, when a total lunar eclipse at 13 degrees Capricorn will conclude this two-year cycle. So we don't need to jump that far ahead. But what's really important is, you know, where does this land in our chart? So it's good to have the ability to have you call in and find out and to determine, you know, what house, because there's our own lunar eclipse experience, you know, based on where it falls in our chart, where the houses, where they land as far as the houses are concerned. But when it comes to our own north and south node, which is connected to eclipses, those that have a Cancer Capricorn north and south node are going to be especially impacted, because a lunar eclipse occurs, and, you know, obviously the solar eclipse occurs very close to the lunar nodes. And this is why the eclipses are so significant, because the north and south node have a lot to do with the larger soul journey that we're on. It has a lot to do with our greater destiny. So the south node is all about the energy signature we are born with, and different patternings that we come in with, and it holds the vibration of, you know, that sign, or, you know, that energy, and that also that house. And so we live that out, you know, maybe up until our 30s to 40s. It really depends on the way they interact with other planets. You know, everybody's a bit different. But, you know, later on in life, we start to move to the north node. Once we kind of live out the south node enough and we recognize sort of who we are outside of the matrix programs, you know, the true energy signature that makes us who we are, not so much as a whole, but something that is carrying over, some sort of patterning that's carrying over, maybe a skill or ability that we developed over the course of time. Also, maybe something that we didn't finish or do in a past life that we need to complete in this lifetime. And so the north node is where the energies are directing us, where our soul energy is guiding us in order to complete our journey and to kind of evolve to the next level. And so they're opposite each other if we look at, you know, south going to north. And the reason for that is we're here to integrate polarity. So if we come in with a certain vibratory frequency, and let's keep it in the context of these eclipses, Capricorn being representative of the south node, we're moving into the north node of Cancer. So the south node would be something that we're much more comfortable with, something that we're much more used to. And so in order for us to integrate polarity, we have to kind of go out of our comfort zone and go into its opposite, which is Cancer. And that has to do with nurturing. So the Capricorn is practical, it's grounded, it has to do with discipline and focus. It's a Saturn energy, but we don't have to go into the lower levels of Saturn in regards to this just yet. I mean, it really depends on a person's chart. It depends on how deep we want to go. But so the north node, okay, so we go into Cancer, that's going into the more feminine, the nurturing, emotional body, the water energy, you know. So it's, you know, really interesting, because Saturn or Capricorn has been very much the patriarchal type energy we've been dealing with, and we're going into the direction of the mother. So it's very significant that these are the eclipse energies that we're dealing with, that on July 2nd, we have a solar eclipse in Cancer and a partial lunar eclipse in Capricorn, July 16th to 17th, like I said. So basically, a solar eclipse is when the moon moves between the sun and the earth so that the shadow is cast onto earth because the moon blocks the light of the sun. This occurs during a new moon. Ultimately, a solar eclipse is meant for us to demand more of ourselves, and the events around it will prove to be a test of our strength and resolve to achieve our dreams. So we need to be sure to embrace the changes with open arms and an open mind, because this is a major time of reset. I'm going to go into that a little bit more. And so a lunar eclipse occurs when the moon is full and its light is blocked by the earth's shadow. A lunar eclipse is a time of mystery and magic, and it reveals the hidden face of who we are and what we do. It gives us a precious and important opportunity to really dig more deeply into the consequences of how we live our lives, because, you know, things are much more illuminated. So the North Node was called the Dragon's Head, the South Node, the Dragon's Tail. And so symbolically, it represents the Ouroboros, the serpent biting its tail, and they end up looping around. So if we really just understand what we're here to do and what we're here to work on, and then we move in the direction of the antidote, which is the North Node, because that's the polarity integration, then it begins to loop, and that spiral helps us to ascend and helps us to complete what we set out to do on our soul missions. And so, yeah, so when I look at your charts, you're going to have a different North and South Node, perhaps, than the one that we're dealing with. But it's important to look at the transits and where they're hitting you. And I want to go quickly through the calls just to maybe focus on this for today. But it really just kind of depends. I don't know. I can also just answer emails. It's just we're getting down to the wire. July 2nd's coming up. So maybe we could keep it focused on this or do a quick call about other questions, because I can do one-on-one calls. But just real quick before we start in with the calling, or the, you know, people wanting to call in, the solar eclipse is like a major reset. And we are reaching this peak intensity as the galactic, like, light sort of plasma waves surge towards this particular time, this solar eclipse, this Tuesday. Eclipses are kind of like, you know, a Stargate energy. It's wormholes. They open new opportunities. They help us to be in that greater soul journey. And so things that are going on celestially are helping to point the arrow in a good direction for us as a collective. And we each have our role to function together as a collective. And then we have our own personal charts, right? And then we have our own little piece of all that. But when we look at transits that affect all of us and things like the eclipses, everybody's going to have their attention on this this Cancer Capricorn polarity. And so this sort of opens this kind of portal energy and allows us to sort of thin the veils between those two opposing forces. Because the thing is, if we integrate polarity, we actually are thinning the veil. The thing that keeps the veil thick is when we're not integrating polarity and we're just kind of going from one to the other, maybe at different times in our life, but there's no integration. So eclipses provide activations and stimulations to review and, like, do a reset, to review, to process, to go inward, and then do a reset for our future timeline. So if there's something that you've really wanted to change connected to a foundation of Capricorn, you know, being more the South Node end of it, that is going to be illuminated in the full moon, but is sort of the more foundational energy, that particular time in July, mid-July, let me give you the date again, July 16th to 17th is actually going to be next to Pluto. So we're going to be able to really, really dump a lot of, like, old stuff. Going into the energy that we're facing on the 2nd, that will be related to Cancer, because that's the North Node, we're able to really check out on July 2nd what we need to look at in order to shift our life so that we can nurture others and ourselves more. And so where that shows up in our house, what kind of aspects it's making, is going to be, you know, really, really critical. Not critical as in, like, scary critical, but it's really important to reflect on what we're being shown so that we can integrate it. So by the time we're going into the partial lunar eclipse in Capricorn later in the month, with Pluto being right next to it, which is very much about the alchemy and transformation, we are, you know, slowly shedding the stuff that gets in the way. That could be things that get in the way of nurturing, childhood wounds, addictions, self-destructive behaviors, how we might mistreat others and how we allow people to mistreat us. And so I know it feels a little bit backwards with the fact that the first one we're hitting is going to be the Cancer, which is the North Node one, which is where we're heading. And then we're going to be facing, you know, more of the foundational energies connected to how we relate to authority and anything Saturn related to discipline, purpose, and responsibilities. And so things will be really, really heightened. And we might have huge emotional surges as we release what we couldn't release or get in touch with between the 2nd of July to July 16th to 17th. And of course, I'll be doing a show in between. I don't want to complicate things and overly like throw too much out there. But the most important thing is we are in the series of eclipses on the Cancer Capricorn axis, and it's shaking the very foundation of modern society to its core, because Saturn relates to the matrix, Cancer relates to the mother. And so when we look at the moon, we might think of the artificial aspects of the moon, but we have to understand that we need to feel into what's happened because of this artificial energy and how the moon chain lineages that are responsible for these exploded planets that broke up the sacred union vibration has wounded us. And we can't heal until we face those wounds. And we have a wound connected with our divine mother and our mother earth. She is wounded. And so this artificial energy that represents the moon that we're working with is a chance for us to work on some of those places within us that have kept us from being able to truly nurture ourselves, the earth around us, and the people in our lives. And it's because of the Saturn matrix, it's made it very difficult. So this axis is very interesting, because if we look at the Saturn moon matrix, it is the moon of Cancer and the Saturn of Capricorn. And so we all have, you know, something to really look at there. And it's really amazing that this is what we're dealing with. So, okay, so we need to set our intentions and visions with this whole process to ignite the Gaia organic timeline of ascension. And so we'll start with the solar eclipse on Tuesday and look at it as a reset for everyone to accelerate their higher dimensional energies into the physical plane, to bring it into the physical plane, because how else are we going to nurture if we're still in the personality matrix? It gives us the opportunity to look at those wounds, our wounds with our biological mother, the traumas we carry because of what we've witnessed within ourselves in connection to the feminine, in connection to the history that we've seen, the way the earth has been treated, the imbalance of the masculine and feminine. So all that stuff comes up on a more collective level, right? Because we're looking at the eclipse energies on a larger level, and we look at our own personal charts too. Again, that's why I do the call-in show. So remember who you are and why you're here. And, you know, just also know that as these veils thin, it's the eclipse energy that's really, like, pushing that. And, you know, solar energy reaching a peak intensity is also doing that. And our ability to integrate these polarities and step out of the rest of the programmings and the distraction is what doing the inner work is all about, and really showing up purposefully on this ascension timeline is to work with the energy of the Cancer Capricorn polarity to integrate it and give birth to a new mother-father principle within ourselves that isn't this imbalance where the mother energy is exiled or lost from us, and the father energy is ruling as a false king of tyranny, a controller, a deceiver. And we're moving back into the true union of the mother arc and the father arc and the divine template that births the Christ Sophia child. Okay, so on that note, I hope I didn't confuse anybody too much, like, oh my gosh, what was all that? But you can replay it. The whole point is we're healing on a massive level as a collective, and we each play our part, it ripples out to the rest. And I'm glad that you've all shown up to do this sort of energy work. And if you haven't joined my Cosmic Gaia private group on Facebook, please join that, because you can sort of work this out. You can ask questions. I check it a lot. I can make some of this more clear. So on that note, I'm going to take the first caller and ask questions pertaining to the eclipse. If you like, And if you have a question outside of that, let's kind of keep it quick, because I know there's a lot of people calling in to find out specifically how this eclipse energy is going to affect them, what house it's showing up in, and maybe some info about their own personal north and south node. And it's also good to ask questions about this intro if it was kind of confusing. Okay, so I'm taking my first caller. The area code is 717, and it's the only one in the lineup with 717. So here I go. Hi there, this is Laura.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Do you have my birthday?
Well, I have more than one Susan in the system, so hold on a sec.
Okay. Is
can you give me a first name? What is it?
Augenbaugh, 31365.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, I tried to get everybody in. I might not have it in here. Have we done a session together yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, okay, that might
but
be why.
I am a spread.
Yes, I know. What's the birth year?
65.
65. Okay, I'm just going to have to get that in really quick.
Okay.
And I will save it. So every time anybody gives me your birthday and your subscriber, you will be able to count on the fact that you won't have to give it to me again. So just give it to me. What's your birthday?
3/13/1965. Time is 12:36 p.m.
12:36 p.m.
Yes. Fort Belvoir, Virginia.
Two words, I figure.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. So what's your question?
I have a south node in, or north node in Gemini in the 12th house, south node in Sagittarius, the 6th house, and also the polarities, if you would call it. I have so many oppositions, my sun, Chiron, Venus and Saturn versus my Uranus, Pluto, and Mars, and all
right.
of them are retrograde in Virgo. And I feel like I have anger issues. I don't know. So if you could tell me what you see.
Yeah, well, oppositions, you know, you kind of swing between one and then into the other. So the sun next to Chiron, Venus, and Saturn has a lot to do with, well, it's in your ninth house. It's in the sign of Pisces. So you're definitely, like, very sensitive, intuitive, compassionate. You're very much a healer, but it looks like it's very hard to move forward on this path without feeling something sort of wacky or throw you off center. And when that happens,
yes.
It's like you got Uranus, okay, making a challenging aspect to your north node, and this opposition with your sun, Chiron, Venus, and Saturn making a challenging aspect to your north node. And so that also makes an impact on your south node. And so as you're trying to move into your north node and clear those energies from the past, you're facing just the same sort of challenges as you move forward, because it's the kind of thing that these patternings don't go away. But as you move from one pole to the other, they begin to resolve, because you wouldn't be able to get to the other side if it didn't represent some sort of antidote. So what it's encouraging is that you give yourself more of a voice. Instead of allowing sort of the trigger switch to create that sort of volcanic feeling of anger, finding as many outlets with your voice as possible. And finding people that are receptive to the kind of information you have, because, you know, your Mars energy is your ego identity in a lot of ways, right? And then it's next to Pluto, and that's a powerful combo there, because Pluto's all about death, rebirth, and alchemy. It's in the sign of Virgo, in the third house of Gemini, which is where your north node is in regards to the sign that it's in, even though it's in the 12th house, which is the house of Pisces, but yet you're a sun sign Pisces. So you're very, very comfortable in this mix of Piscean Gemini energy, and this all comes so natural to you that these polarities don't exist as much as it just sort of does, you know, in the chart. Yes, as you're in this physical incarnation, these poles show up, right? Because our chart changes from the heliocentric, from the solar perspective, from when we get into Earth. So something kind of like created this division, and your north and south nodes show that the more you integrate this, the more you're actually moving into your spiritual voice. And a leadership position with that voice. And it's actually very natural to you, but bouncing back and forth between higher mind and all this greater wisdom and knowledge in your higher mind and trying to find a medium to express it through. But it's so far out of the box that the anger comes around when you notice that not a lot of people around you are on the same page, and you grew up with that, you're used to it from past lives, and you're pretty fed up. But the more of an outlet you have for writing, it's like you've been there, done that, and it's like you've had it. So it's kind of like cosmic burnout of like dealing with a lot of unconscious people, you know, having to be patient. But even though you have challenges to your north and south node, it's not really a true challenge because you're already really, really good at where you're heading and where you've been. I mean, obviously that's what the nodes represent, but these aren't challenges as much as doing something that you weren't able to do only in respect to what people weren't ready for, not something that you're internally lacking. And so your challenge has been, how do you function in this 3D reality with the knowledge you have and ground yourself when your higher intelligence is taking you elsewhere? So the more you use your voice and that magician energy, and the more you give it a voice, the more you manifest it, the more you activate people. And so just keep finding an outlet for your expression. That can be in the form of writing, because that's Gemini. But even art, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as you're expressing yourself, it's going to heal your body. It's going to cure any anxiety. It's going to help you feel the spiritual balance and equilibrium. You got to dance like nobody's watching, sort of metaphorically, and just be free, because you don't feel like necessarily free here, but yet you're a free spirit. So just don't take personally the world around you, because you're a major guide here and you have a spiritual voice that needs to be heard. So I got to kind of leave it short, but I hope that helps.
I love you. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for calling. Okay.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Okay, so I have next in line a 732 number, and I'm going to turn you on here. Hey there, who's on the line?
Hi, Laura. This is Mary. I just emailed you today about my 3:15 Mountain Time, Eastern Time, Daylight Savings Time appointment that I couldn't unscramble in my head.
Oh, no worries at all. I'm so glad you're able to call in. And I don't believe you sent the chart information. I might have gotten it too late to get in there. So do you mind me just putting it in there right now?
Not at all. Nope. My name is Mary. I was born February 26, 1960. I was born at 11:25 a.m., Philadelphia, PA. I might have told you that I live in Island Heights, New Jersey, but Philadelphia, PA is the, you know, where I was born.
Okay. So I just want to make sure you weren't muffled here, because you were a little muffled. You said 26th or 25th of February?
Yes, February 26th, yes, 11:25, 1960,
11 p.m. Philadelphia. Okay, great. So what would you like me to look at?
A.M., 11:25 a.m., I'm sorry, a.m.
Oh, no worries, okay. That's why I always read it back. And what would you like me to look at?
I would like you to look at, I think you, when you say I have my north node in Virgo and my south node in Pisces, being a Pisces, I was married to a Virgo. It's in my fourth house, it's in my family, my mother house, and it's in my work house, and those are, you know, really big signs for me. Could you tell me, like, where I'm transiting, if I'm asking the question correctly astrologically? Like, I'm looking for what that transit is with my home, my mother, my divorce, just what's going on with all that career, yeah.
Okay, so the transits are where the planets are in the sky. So are you talking about how the eclipse are going to affect you, or just your natal south and north node? Okay,
yes, thank you for clarifying what I was asking.
yeah, totally. Okay, all right, just give me a second here. Okay, so second house. Okay, so this is mostly, because the south node is Capricorn, it's got a strong influence of Pluto and Saturn already. That's why when we move into the other eclipse coming on later, it's going to be really intense. So you're more right now, you know, when we deal with July 2nd, you're in the Cancer part of it. Cancer rules your second house. That has to do with self-worth, has to do with, you know, how we create abundance in the things that we value. And because, you know, that's Cancer, and it has to do with the mother, and it also rules the fourth house, and that takes us to where your north node is in the house of Virgo. And so anything that comes up health related for you, or what certain relationships might have triggered that might have impacted your health, with Jupiter in your seventh house, that has to do with, you know, it's a very benevolent planet, but sometimes, especially when it hits a sign of health, can sometimes rule excess, or somebody who triggers us into excess, like somebody who might drive us to drink, or somebody who might, we just eat a lot with them or just overdo things. Jupiter can sometimes represent that. But let's put the partnership aside. That can be another conversation for later.
But no, you're right on, but I would love to do that. Yes, you're exactly right on. I'd love to talk to you about that on July 16th, which is when my appointment is with you. So that just seems perfect that this is happening the way it is. So great.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
So, okay, yeah. So the North Node, you know, being in the fourth house, you also have Pluto in the fourth house. You're digging real deep into your, you know, the mother energy, your mother side. Pluto is so transformative. And, you know, the fact that it picks up on the planet Neptune in your sixth house, which is the house of Virgo, and Neptune being all about multidimensional energy. Basically, it's putting you in a place of being incredibly sensitive on a physical level. So it's almost like you're a medium, but the cells of your body and the frequency of your body can pick up on things. So like you might manifest, come across a situation and you just feel something, even in the certain layers of your skin, or just, you know, things that feel very physical. Maybe it even impacts like organs of your body that you just might feel a sensation, not necessarily anything terrible, but it's like your body is like a great communicator. And because it's going through so many deep, profound cycles and transformations, it's putting it in a place of really profound sensitivity, because it's vibrating at such a divine, sort of deep, sort of grounded level with the mother, with Mother Earth, that you're resetting your sense of self-worth outside of whatever you were raised to believe about yourself, whatever energies your mother may have carried, because with your natal moon so close to Chiron, the wounded healer, you may have absorbed a lot of what you grew up with, and now you're kind of going through a reset so that you're not just a carrier of what you inherited on a biological level, but you're digging deep with that Pluto and you're resetting your sense of self-worth more on your own terms in connection with how you're resetting with Mother Earth herself. And this is actually helping your matriarchal line, your mother's line, and huge transformations are happening in your mother lineage on a biological level because of this. And so
I so totally believe that.
So July 2nd, it's going to be a big sort of reset, you know, a chance to really dig into that. And then by the time the 16th rolls around, whatever still kind of needs to be released, to reset the way that we, you know, move into the Capricorn Saturn, it's so appropriate because we're bringing the mother with us this time, which is going to totally change the vibration of Capricorn Saturn. And of course, we all have our personal storylines, and we'll look into that when I talk to you next. But yeah, this is really powerful. And really good. So yeah, self-worth, re-identification, things that you value, and just, you know, and putting it in an expression of, you know, self-nurturing and the nurturing of the things around you. And just, yeah, I mean, just you just being really close to nature is everything, because you got that Taurus Cancer, and Taurus is an earth sign. And then the lunar energy is the mother. And because we've had such a wounded mother with the moon manipulations coming from exploded planets and needing to connect to the higher octaves of the planetary moon in order to heal it, you fortunately have Neptune making a harmonious aspect to your moon in your natal chart. So you're already able to cleanse this sort of artificial construct moon that's been affected by Saturn with the dream energy, with the real essence of multidimensional awareness on a very intuitive and empathic and mystical, like, out of this world sort of level. And because we're moving into higher earth energies, it's very, very important that we can relate to our emotions on that level. So we're not just in patternings of our, you know, our parents or societal programmings or the victimhood that has, you know, come about because of how compromised the feminine has been. So it's, in a sense, you're lucid dreaming out of it, but it's a physical shift that you're able to create too, because the physical earth body is a part of your canvas as a co-creator with Mother Earth. So you're able to really be fluid with reality and be a major influencer to how physical reality manifests. So you're able to shift physical reality through your dream nature, through, you know, reaching into the creative imagination and bringing in the true intention of this organic ascension timeline, and, you know, right from the heartbeat of Gaia herself. So it's really beautiful.
Wow. I really do that. Thank you. Thank you for affirming that. I do. Thank you. And as a Pisces, I thank you for taking me second. We are always last. We're very patient. And we always get like, oh, I have to go really fast. I have to go faster. I don't have any time. You just hear the astrologer saying that. And we're like, it's okay. We're Pisces. We're used to being 12. And we try not to say it with too much of that in our voice.
Oh, and at the same time, you're everything else. Yeah. Oh, no, it's so wonderful. I'm so glad. Thank you for calling in. I look forward to our call in just a little bit, in a week or two.
Thank you, Laura. Have a blessed show.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so the next caller is 212. And hello, who do I have on the line?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Gundi, and my birthday is November 26, 1957.
Hold on a sec. November 26th, 1967?
No,
57. 57. And can I get the first name, or at least your initials? Yes, 57.
G.
Got it. Okay. And the
and I was, okay.
Uh-huh. Where are you born?
In my birth time?
Yep,
Austria. G, okay, it's spelled G-R-A-Z. And it was at 9 p.m. exactly.
Okay, great. What would you like me to look at?
I guess where Chiron is in relationship to all this. I'm having a lot of issues with my career, and I'm just wondering if it's hitting that, and also what the eclipses might bring.
Okay, so Chiron is in the sign of Aries right now. It's in your ninth house, and the ninth house is, you know, Jupiter Sagittarius. It has to do with, just philosophy, adventure, inspiration, expansion, and kind of thinking outside of, sort of more in the wisdom body, more based on life experience and what we gain from it. And so it's not really hitting any planets. What I'm thinking is you've got Pluto and Saturn, because it's in the sign of Capricorn, it's actually crossing over Venus. Venus, the planet of love and harmony, which is in your sixth house, which is the house of work, the house of health, the house of physical body. And it happens to form a challenging aspect to your midheaven, which is the highest point of the chart. The midheaven is just the themes of our life path. It's on the cusp of the 10th house, which is our career house, and the 9th house. But it very much influences like things like, you know, career, the things that we put a lot of focus and attention on. And so because there's already a challenging aspect, it just looks like there's a big change that needs to be initiated. You might not be sure what that is right now. You might feel a nudge towards creating some kind of change, but it's still such a mystery that it's kind of uncomfortable to go about trying to, you know, create it. So it's very important to just really breathe into it and know that these kind of initiations, we don't have a whole lot of control over. The best we can do is just ground and just breathe and just look at the messages and look at what we're being shown and allow it to kind of guide us. Because if we resist it, then in a sense, we're sort of locked in the birth canal, because Pluto is very much a portal. It's all about the death, rebirth, alchemy, and transformation. And if we resist it, it's like we can't get out of the cocoon, or we're holding on for dear life to an attachment that is ready to go. And that's usually what the challenging aspect is. So if you're holding on to something in your career, and you can feel the changes upon you, I would let go as much as possible and just breathe in the energy of trust. And so with Venus somewhat afflicted in your sixth house of health and work, a lot of these transformations or changes want you to do something you really, really love to do. It's encouraging you to live a lot more of the dream than maybe you allow yourself. Because there's discontentment in your heart, or living in sort of the illusion and feeling lost in it. And it's really like a part of your karmic work, I guess. Well, you know, there's better words. I don't know. To sort of resolve this and heal this. And so one-on-one, we can look at your progress chart, because that's going to show a lot of information. Unfortunately, I can't look at both. But let's look at the eclipses. So basically, the eclipse on the 2nd of July is going to be affecting your 12th house, which has Cancer as its ruler. And the 12th house has to do with solitude, multidimensional reality, the creative imagination, our ability to give ourselves downtime so we can go into sort of dream time, you know, kind of downtime dream. And just, you know, it's good for meditation, and just really retreating. So if you feel like you need extra rest and sleep, it's a really good time for you to do that, especially with changes that are like hitting your life path and career path, because, you know, you really want to just allow yourself to really, really rest and get good rest, even if you have to take like an herbal supplement or something to help you get quality sleep, because you're going to really need that. There might be a lot of things that show up in your dream time and a lot of nurturing energy that will come and like maybe soothe, you know, some of the stress that you're feeling. Opposite, you know, the north node, you know, you got the south node pretty darn close to Venus. And so that's going to really be lit up July 16th to 17th when we have this next phase of the eclipses. And if you want to try and get a session that day, email me and I'll fit you in so we can talk on that day, because it might be pretty intense and I can kind of help you through it if you need it, if you want it.
Actually, I do have a session with you on right before that on Saturday. So that might, I'm not sure if it's the 16th. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yeah. Great. And if you want to change that, if you just, you know, knowing the eclipse is on the 16th and 17th, I can't see where it is in the calendar, just let me know. And we'll, you know, kind of like just, you know, work with the cards and help move some energy.
Okay. Sounds good.
Great. Well, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey there. I haven't put you on yet. I have a 707 area code. So... who am I speaking with? Hello, 707?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes. Hi, it's Allison Love.
Hi, Allison.
And I called you in. My birth date is 2/10/65.
I think I already have you. You already.
Yeah.
I got. Oh. 2/10. I don't know why it's not in here. I have 8 hours.
Okay, well, it's Greenwich, Connecticut, 2/10/65.
Okay, I'll get it in here. And don't worry, this will be saved. And what time were you born?
6:10 p.m.
Okay. Okay, there's a few Greenwiches, and I got to spell this one correctly. Got it. I'm sorry, you said 6:10 p.m.?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and what would you like me to look at?
Okay, Laura, thank you, first off, for all the help. I've been talking to you through email, and you've been wonderful. I had a question because you touched on that I have a significant purpose that you felt I had to fulfill. I wonder if you could look at my chart and tell me more about that.
Oh, I do remember. Okay, yeah, our email.
Yeah, yeah.
okay, so your north node, let's see, is next to the moon, and I'm not going into the eclipse stuff just yet because this is your own personal north node next to the moon, and it's hugging the midheaven. The midheaven's the highest point of the chart, and it's
right.
The themes of our life path, and it's very visible to the world around us. It's very influential to large numbers of people. It's kind of like, so if it's the highest point of the chart, it's kind of like where we're the most seen. So it's kind of like the tip of the pyramid in a sense, but we're still dealing with the circle. So it's creating, well, it has difficult aspects coming in from past lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, because the south node and the north node are opposite each other, challenging aspects are going to hit both the south and north node. Same with harmonious aspects. So your south node is in Sagittarius, and it's, you know, still on that line of energy. So there's a lot you came in with connected to your ancestral line, connected more to the mother side of the family, because it's right on that line of energy in Sagittarius. So you may have like felt like, whoa, like what kind of agreement do I have with these folks? And so you're wrapping up some things with your mother, big time. And this is, you know, this sort of, the north and south node isn't the full-on purpose that we have because there's so many other aspects, but this is something that's been important for you to clear. There's something that you're working this with this particular, you know, line, this ancestral line for a particular reason. There's an agreement, but what you do with this family line has an impact on the collective. Like it has a huge impact on everything, and that's sort of why you were tasked with this, coming in with some incredible abilities and gifts with the challenge to handle a very sort of difficult scenario that you might not feel a match with at all. So it might be like, you know, there's definitely something that you're bringing in. So you've got Pluto next to Mars and Uranus in the sign of Virgo. And so Pluto and Uranus are outer planets. Uranus is an electrical energy. It has to do with shock and upheaval that leads to great awakening. Pluto is all about the alchemy, transformation, death, rebirth. And then Mars has to do with our sense of identity. So you're very powerful, and you hold like these very like ascension type energies or codes, whatever you want to call them. Also, it links to Neptune in a harmonious way. And it's in the sign of Virgo. So, and it also links to Jupiter. So you have always had this super high vibration, but it's been very easy for you to experience yourself in other dimensions, and really painful to the physical plane, because so much of it has to do with something that your purpose to do with this family line that has an impact, you know, on a much larger scale. So this family line may have been targeted. There might be some things that have been like curses or, you know, and of course, many, many, you know, we've all kind of had our hand in it, that kind of thing. But there's something big about this particular group that the recovery of it is going to make a huge impact, and it's not going to leave you alone until you complete it. And so as you come into the physical, as you begin to acclimate into the physical, nothing but your healing gifts and abilities show up. And as you develop those skills and abilities and you find the mediums or modalities or working with the earth or just connecting into the earth, and just really feel that healing for yourself and just all the things that are lighting up as far as what you can do with who you are and what you carry, that directly goes to them, but it goes way beyond them. But that's like the big trigger of like, you know, why the theme of like being a healer and healing has been so strong. Without this agreement, it would just be easy to remain where you were, but you made a strong agreement to come in here. If that makes sense.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. And so one last question in regards to that. Do you see healing more than teaching?
The healing thing can become a teacher thing. You've got Saturn next to Venus, also next to Chiron and the Sun. So the teacher energy is there. That's Saturn. It's next to Venus, which is a teacher of the heart, which is near Chiron, all in Pisces. And the Chiron energy is going to be, it's got a healing theme, but like you get to decide. I mean, you're in charge here. You're given sort of a position of authority connected to like cosmic natural law, not like lower authority that's about control. So it's got a healing impact on people because of where it's coming from. And it's coming from a higher multidimensional awareness, a higher harmonic universe and earth energy that you're very grounded into. So you're bringing that gift to this lower density, and it puts you in the position of being a teacher. The healer part is pretty innate. It's just who you are. The strong Piscean energy is in its opposite sign. Pisces is in the sixth house, the house of Virgo. So that's integration of polarity right there. That's a huge achievement because Virgo, the opposite is Pisces, right? And the sign of Pisces is the ruler of your sixth house, where your sun is, Chiron, Venus, and Saturn. So very much a teacher. It all links to your north node. So you're going to be challenged until you step into that role, but it's a beautiful challenge because it's ensuring that you do what you came here to do. And it's more challenging on those around you who resist the growth that you can throw them into. Their discomfort in letting go of a programming or a way of being that really they don't realize doesn't serve them. Because you shake their foundation, you help to deprogram. So you might feel friction and discomfort, but it's not really yours. It's what people throw at you who aren't ready. And so as long as you can just shield yourself and not take it personally, you'll do just fine, and you already are. So it's really good.
Wow. So I'm going to be sharing, do you think, my story and sharing that with people, and it'll help them?
Absolutely. You got your north node next to the moon, sign of Gemini, right on your midheaven. And Gemini has to do with communication and different ways that, you know, we can utilize, you know, platforms to express ourselves through. It's the midpoint. It's the midheaven, which is the highest point of the chart, which means that you could affect a huge audience. I mean, it depends also on your comfort level. The thing is, you're influential whether you're seen or not. Because of the kind of energy that you carry. But yes,
wow.
I would be, you know, more potent.
So it'll just affect the grid? Affect the grid?
Yes, but the voice print that you carry, you know, I mean, those words that you speak are very activating to people. So you'll always be, you know, affecting positive change whether you're, you know, fully seen or not, but the more you give yourself a voice, the more you release those, you know, frequencies, like a sound healing device or, you know, tool would do. So the more you do that, you know, the more it can reach people, but you don't have to push yourself beyond your own comfort level. But when you start to feel anxiety, it means that you might be ignoring the call and you should just go for it. If you feel somewhat at peace, then you're fine until you get sort of that push. Because the thing is, you're working with universal forces. You'll know you need to act when a sensation doesn't leave you alone, or you keep having this idea and then you may shove it away and it won't leave you alone. It keeps coming back. But if you're feeling relatively peaceful, you're probably, you know, where it works for you. But if you notice that you're a little restless and there's more, just keep listening to it, keep bringing it in, and and just answer to it, and just, you know, with grace and ease, just start to move into that position. And because you're a subscriber, you know, we could, you know, definitely work on that over the course of time, as much as you feel you would like that. And, you know, but yeah,
thank you, Laura, so much.
Impact people big time. And so, you know, even just realize you carry it wherever you go. I mean, these are casual conversations that you can have with anybody you run into, and it's still there. It's the voice print you carry and the effect that it has on anybody. But of course, you know, creating some kind of audience or workshops or a way to reach people that are ready too is also really wonderful. But it's, you're embodied in it, so it's wherever you go.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much. That's been great.
You're so welcome.
Really helpful.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Okay.
Hey, 214. Who do I have on the line?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Can you hear me?
I think I
Hey.
You emailed me today, right? So I
Yes.
I can And
I
your
did.
Last initial, is it with a D?
Yes, D-E-W.
Yep. Okay. So I'm just gonna say one thing. Just to make sure, not to give all your data away, but it's 3 a.m. your birth time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I double-checked everything. If you want me to read it out loud, just in case, I can. If you want to keep it private, believe me, everybody I put in the system before we get on the show, I double-check, I triple-check. But
it's fine. You can read it out loud.
Okay. So I got 21st of October, 1976, 3 a.m., Washington, Pennsylvania.
Right, you said 1976, right?
1976, yes.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Okay. So what kind of
question? I don't really have a question. I don't have a question. Well, I mean, if I had to have a question, it'd be like, do I have any, like, past life wounds or whatnot that I need to fix?
Great. And don't worry, you know, if people don't have a question, you can always jump that, but okay, so past life wounds, anything else?
I just went through a huge change in my life. I think it was lasting a year, but it peaked, I think, in April. I hope it peaked in April, because I don't hope I'm in a valley and I'm kind of sticking there for a while. No more peaking.
All right.
And I'm just hoping I'm on the right path. Career wise, I guess life wise, okay. Whatever the low hanging fruit is, I'll grab it.
Yeah, nice. Well, so the progress chart is a very important thing to look at too. I can only really do natal, but just for this particular, I'm just going to add one thing. So basically, Uranus has been crossing over your south node, which is connected to previous lifetimes. The south node usually represents like the theme of our last five or so lifetimes, not like the totality. And so Chiron is actually sitting right on your south node. So Chiron is definitely the asteroid connected to wounds, traumas, injuries, but it takes us on a path of knowledge. So we have two choices with Chiron. It can either make us feel like a victim, or it can give us this kind of extra strength to overcome these obstacles and really get in touch with true medicine and true healing and true knowledge. But in a world that doesn't encourage us to take that route, it's very easy to feel like a victim to it or give our power to somebody else to solve those wounds or injuries or illnesses. And, you know, to a certain degree, outside help is very, you know, beneficial, but sometimes it can take us further away from the goal. So Uranus, which has recently moved into Taurus, with your Chiron and South Node right on the cusp of Aries and Taurus, you have definitely been getting some major, major activations connected to the past. You might have even had some recollections of things in the past based on maybe people you ran into, particularly if you've been traveling, because it's in the ninth house, which has to do with travel and also like things related to expansion and philosophy and higher mind. So what this looks like is there might have been invalidation to your higher self and your wisdom body in past lives. And things might have taken place that just put you in harm's way because of your wisdom. And that ended up injuring you. But yet, that's also something that despite these level of attacks, one can overcome and gain sort of a knowledge of how this matrix operates, which is a whole nother sort of education. Because we can come in with wisdom and then we have to learn how to navigate the matrix, which is like kind of throws all of us like, what the heck is this? So there's definitely been a lot of stuff like stimulating this part of you. You might have felt like, yeah, I mean, you described some of it. And it's so interesting that that's the question that you ask. What's also interesting is that your north node, which is where you're heading in this lifetime, is right next to your sun sign in Libra and also next to Uranus. Right? So you've had the transiting Uranus on the south node end, and then your north node end, which is where you're heading, is next to the actual natal Uranus, which is next to Mars, and then the north node, and then your sun. And so the sun and Mars, you know, sun is your solar energy, your creative essence. Mars is your kind of ego identity and just sort of that kind of like raw personal power. And then Uranus, sometimes people aren't used to people saying Uranus, so I can say Uranus, but you know, just changed that in myself. Uranus is the planet of sovereignty, freedom, liberation, but also shocks and upheavals that lead to great awakening. So you're going from a lot of very difficult lifetimes of being very, very shut down as far as your wisdom body goes to this lifetime that is helping you to really, you know, set yourself free. You haven't lost any sense of your powerful spiritual mind and stability in your mental body. You stayed really, really strong in spite of any injuries in past lives. You have had to liberate away from some of these darker controller forces that have wanted to put a block on your creative power on a spiritual level. But because Uranus is so much stronger, you might have felt like things hold you back and then it's like you bust those obstacles down. And as you move forward, anything that tries to just kind of throw you down in the way that it has in past lives will not succeed whatsoever. This is the lifetime you're getting it all back. And it's incredibly powerful. Your career path is awesome. You got Jupiter right on your midheaven. The midheaven is the highest point of the chart. It's where we're the most seen, not necessarily the most influential, but like the most seen, like where, you know, other people can kind of like see us and know what we do and who we are a little bit more. It's a little bit more visible. And you've got Jupiter here, which is a very, you know, benevolent planet. Very often when it's in the 10th house right next to the midheaven, it means that you're really here to bless humanity. You've got some really wonderful gifts to share. And that wisdom that might have been shut down before, you're really, really able to put it out there now. Because if Chiron was in your 9th house, which Jupiter rules, and you got Jupiter in your house of career, you are really pulling yourself back and you're getting yourself exactly where you have attempted to be or were put in that position that was really not so easy to maintain because of the patriarchal agenda and a lot of dark forces. So your career might change in order to accommodate this true role that you're meant to play. And so if you're compromising yourself or doing something that you don't really feel that good about or it's not really what you really truly wanted, don't, you know, feel like you need to compromise at all. There's much, much, much more that will be revealed. And just trust the synchronicity that'll help guide you to what your real position in this world is. Does that make sense? Does that sound?
It does. It actually, it really does. And I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
It's quite amazing. Like what you're moving into and the position it's putting you in. And it's so familiar to you, but it's been so hard for a numerous amount of lifetimes to hold that position that you did, you know, in ancient times, like a long time ago, but it's a huge return. So when we think of, you know, return of the divine feminine, it's a great story and example of this. So anyway, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much also. This is great.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey there, I've got 303 on the line. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Laura. This is Mariel Stewart. How are you?
Maria?
Oh,
I'm
Mariel
good.
Stewart.
I'm sorry. I can't quite hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, just give me the first initial. What's the first initial of your name?
L.
Oh, L. Okay. And just what is the rest of it? Lario, you said, or what is it?
It's L'Oreal Stewart.
L'Oreal. Do I have you in the system yet?
Yes. Yes. I think I'm in the system, I believe.
You probably are, but I have so many Laurels and Lauras, and it might just be easier to really just make this stand
okay.
out so I don't have to ever ask you again. Let me just take it one more time.
Okay. Do you want me to just give you my birthday information or my name again?
No, I got your name, and I'm putting everything in bold print, so what's your birthday?
It's 5/17/1994.
And what time were you born?
11:35 a.m.
And where were you born?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
And just know this is a private line. So if anybody feels kind of like, I know you probably would have preferred to be in the system without having to say it out loud, but it's a small group and it's all like a closed private container. So I know everybody's, you know, really safe and nobody's like writing it down. Just steal your identity. And I don't think
don't
worry about
my
it. Anyway, what would you like to ask? What kind of questions do you have?
So I wanted to understand how this eclipse was going to affect me based on what you see in my chart. And also, I didn't know if I'm a Cancer moon or a Leo moon sign.
Okay.
Because I've been told both, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I resonate with both, but I don't really know. I think I'm on the cusp of them, but I don't know what I am in terms of my moon sign.
Right, gotcha. So you said 11:35 a.m., right?
Yes.
Okay, well, as far as this system is concerned, you are a moon Leo, and it's right on your ascendant. Your ascendant is your, like, outer persona. It's kind of our surface personality, but it doesn't mean it's just totally, like, it's kind of how we interface with the reality around us and how others see us, or, you know, kind of our personality. And so with the moon sitting right on top of your ascendant, from the 12th house, the 12th house is the house of Pisces, you know, being in the sign of Leo, you more than likely have just a very, well, it's very likely, but not sure if like you're able to, or you have been able to really, you know, fully express it. Your capacity to tap into the creative realms, the creative imagination through your intuition to bring in some, you know, really great artistry, music, and just your creative mind is like really switched on. Mercury makes a harmonious aspect to your moon. And so that's really available. It's like you can tap into realms beyond this and then bring it into expression. And Leo, you know, connects with all sorts of things creative, you know, music, art, recreation, children, and just the things that the heart like feels really inspired to create, you know, because we're always creative. But Leo just has that sort of like, it brings out sort of more the inner child and the feeling of our divine innocence and being able to play a little bit. So does that kind of resonate? Are you like a creative being? Are you a musician or an artist or anything like that?
I love singing, and I'm really into graphic designing, so that resonates with me definitely.
Cool. So, so the nodes, or the north, okay, which are basically where the eclipses are. So for
mm-hmm.
July 2nd, it's going to be, you know, impacting your 11th house that has to do with friends and so there might be, I don't know, just things going on with people that you know that might need assistance or nurturing, or you might need to step back so that you're not exhausting yourself when it comes to other people in your life. There's not really that many aspects to it. Mars is making an aspect, but not like a tight aspect. And so you might just feel some sort of like emotional intensity. And it can definitely like manifest as like passion, because really, you know, even if it were to manifest as anger, that's another side of, you know, passion. What's really going to hit is when we hit this next eclipse, July 16th, because it's going to be affecting Uranus and Neptune in the sign of Capricorn in your sixth house, which is the house of health. There might be an increase of anxiety, but it's leading to a huge breakthrough. Like something huge is happening. It might have to do with your living situation, something with your family or home or something in the domestic space, something that you might want to look at that will be like really, really healing and helpful for you. And it might just be like about kind of going into the nest a little bit. If you try and be outward too much, you might find you get a little rattled. It might just be a good time to sort of retreat. But it might not be a bad idea also to talk closer to the time if we haven't done a 15-minute session yet. It's just definitely some interesting energy is going to be happening mid-month. But you already carry a really, like, looks like it's really important for you to work for yourself. And, you know, have as much independence as possible. And so if you haven't been able to do that, you might find some big inspirations coming in as to how you can find more sort of independence in how you run your, like, lifestyle or routine or, you know, the hours that you might choose for the work you do. Because without that,
it looks
like...
That is so big. I've been feeling that pull. Yes. I'm so glad you said that. I was wondering if you were going to see something about that.
Yeah, so this is a really powerful eclipse window for you then, because there's going to be a lot of support, but you might need to just kind of step away from everything because the outer noise and everybody else's energy, you know, could just be just kind of, ungrounding. And so there's huge transformations.
Yeah.
Just really settling into just the home space, you know, sitting in the garden if, you know, or just finding a cool nature spot, connecting in with the earth energies, and you'll get some major epiphanies and downloads to give you more independence, because ultimately that's actually where you're heading. And this will be a powerful acceleration pushing you in that direction even more.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome.
You.
Well, thank you so much for calling. And take care.
Thank you so much.
Day. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey there, I've got 512 on the line. Who's this? Hello? Hello, 512? Oh my gosh, I haven't switched you on. Hello. Hi there, 512. Sorry about that. I didn't have you switched on.
Is it Allison?
Is it Allison?
Is it me? Yeah.
Hi, I think you're the other Allison. Okay, let me just confirm some things and pull up your name. Just to make sure. Okay, I got to actually distinguish the two as different. Are you St. Charles, Minnesota?
No, the other in state. Missouri.
The other end state. Let's see. I don't know. Have I put you in the system yet?
Yes, we've talked a couple times.
Okay, if it was a while back, I sometimes have to clear out. It was really recent?
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple weeks ago.
Were you subscribed at that time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
Go ahead. I can do it again.
Not in here. I know. Okay, so let me just – I've got so many Allisons. I don't know what happened. Okay, so go ahead. What is your birthday?
March 22nd, 1968.
Oh, I do think I have it. Okay, what time were you born?
12:35 a.m.
And where were you born?
St. Charles, Missouri.
Oh, I do have that one. I guess I read the state. It's M-O, though, right?
The state wrong.
Or wait.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Missouri. I must have. Okay, yep. I did have you in the system. I'm so sorry, and you have to say it all out loud. Okay, so but that's good because I would have kept you in the system. I guess I just gave the wrong state, but I did say St. Charles. Okay, so anything? What would you like to look at? Anything specific?
Just these. No, just these eclipses coming up.
Okay, so the eclipse energy for you. Okay, hold on just a second. Okay. So, sorry. Okay, so that's going to be affecting your seventh house of partnership and relationships, and it's not really making any significant aspects, but if there's, you know, good friends or a partner, there might be just some emphasis around July 2nd of, like, you know, just some new beginning or a reset or something opening up to bring, you know, greater intimacy. If you're single, this might just be something, you know, with friendships or just you maybe looking at that, you know, inner balance, because it is the house of Libra. When it goes to like the July 16th, 17th eclipse, it will be very close to your natal moon. And because it's in Capricorn, it will probably put a lot of attention on the things that you might be taking too seriously on an emotional level, and replacing it with your divine wisdom that you hold really, really strongly. You have a really powerful intuition and connection with your wisdom body and your capacity to communicate it. It looks like you might have had siblings you're able to really talk to, I don't know, or neighbors, or just people you might have grown up with that you could click with and bring that side of you out. But it looks like you kind of had somewhat of a strict upbringing that might get sort of lit up. Sometimes it means, you know, even neglect or just an absentee parent, this particular aspect, or just not fully being listened to because you might have gone over their head. They might not have been able to understand, like, you know, your level of wisdom, because there's something linking the moon to your actual natal north node, which is next to Saturn, which forms a challenging aspect to the moon, which can sometimes shut down the emotional body. But you have this great lifeline of support that shows what a powerful spiritual, you know, being you are, and how you like are actually very, very connected with galactic energies, higher octaves of the moon that take you kind of out of that artificial aspect of it, that have a lot to do with modalities or like wisdom knowing, things that you know in your wisdom body connected to you as a healer, and pulling your purpose and intuition together and, you know, really doing something with it if you haven't already. So it just shows that you have incredible skills as a healer, and this eclipse is really about bringing that in more. And if there's any hooks from the past connected to the way you were raised or anything societal, that it's just not going to be able to hang on, because your Capricorn energy is like incredibly advanced compared to maybe what you were sort of like, you know, up against. And this is what kind of happens when we're born into the Saturn, the lower Saturn energies, which is what our society is and what we've been dealing with the darker aspects of Saturn. And you're one of those those Capricorn moons that are like changing the paradigm through the power of your intuition. And you're resetting the energy of this Capricorn through your personality nature. So there's things you might take seriously, but you're taking the right thing seriously, as long as you're not holding on too much to any blocks from the past. Because you get some real great downloads and activations, but it's right into your emotional body, so you're a great receiver and intuit, like psychic, in a lot of ways. So anyway, any thoughts on that?
Oh, this all just resonates because I've got a visit coming up with a family at the end of the month. So, the same visit I had back around my birthday. And I'm preparing for that with,
that makes a lot of sense actually. Right. So like that feeling of, you know, like you're in their container, but you're so expanded beyond it, and it can kind of be very constricting because it probably was growing up, and then you like pretty instantly kind of were able to retreat to your own sort of higher vibrational earth energy that you've been really working on anchoring and helping to wake up people to, because you're definitely like strong in the ascension vibration and always have been. But, you're having that earth energy, having that Capricorn. Yeah. So this eclipse time is just kind of, doesn't surprise me. You're going to be seeing family members, and that'll just be sort of temporary. It might bring up some old triggers and some things to clear, but you've got a great focus and direction, and it's very, very guided, you know, like your personality nature, your ego identity is very clear with what it is. And so you can really go after it. It's very present and available to you without having to dig real deep. But yeah, that it seems like you're a very different vibration than your family.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, all right, bye. Okay, I've got 703 on the line. Who is this? Oops. Hey there, 703. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, who am I
speaking? Marta.
Hi, Marta.
Marta. Hello.
How are you?
Yes. I'm good.
Okay, let me just confirm just one thing about your chart. Are you 1955, Perry?
Yes.
Oklahoma? Okay.
Yes.
Great. So what would you like me to look at?
Well, I'm kind of new to astrology. I've had very limited, connections with that. So if you could just give me an overview and anything that jumps out that you think I need to know, like my mission or what I should be focused on, it'd be great.
Okay, super. So you've got a big lineup of planets. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 planets all next to each other. The sun sign in Leo next to Mars. Mars has to do with sort of more of our ego identity, more of our personality power. Like, you know, but it's deeper than that. It's also like our solar plexus and the energy distribution in our body. It's also energy and just our ability to take action, be in a leadership role even. And then Venus, the planet of love and harmony, is right there. Then you got Jupiter, which is all about expansion. These are all in the sign of Leo. More than likely, you're a really profound artist or musician or performer, somebody who just is a great manifester. Then you've got Pluto, planet of transformation, the moon, which has to do with emotional body and psychic energy, and Mercury in the sign of Virgo, which is still very close to all these planets in Leo. So this is all in the 12th house. The 12th house is the house of sort of, you know, dream, time, multidimensional reality, creative imagination, sort of the more mystical, you know, where we feel into the collective and the collective conscious. So you might just feel drawn to working a lot of energy or being like maybe in
I lost you. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Okay, I don't know what happened, but I'm going to try this again. Am I on the line with 586?
Hello?
Yes, who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Yes?
This is Donna Spittler.
Okay, great. So I lost you, Marta, and you're still in the caller lineup. There's only a few callers left, so I'll get right back to you. But let me just take this one because I can't really do much about it. And it's good to connect. What did you say your name was?
Donna Spittler. I just joined like about a week ago, And I wasn't able to email you that I'd be on the show, but I have emailed you before saying I probably would never make them just because of timing. But
okay, so let me get your data in. What's your birthday?
September 12th, 1966.
And what time were you born?
12:05 a.m., so 5 minutes after midnight.
And where were you born?
Detroit, Michigan.
Great. What would you like me to look at?
I guess just in general. I have an appointment with you, but that's not until August. It's the only time I could get in. But this is my first time, you know, speaking with you.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for subscribing.
And you
wanted to just check out what the eclipse is or something else?
You know what? Whatever you think, I'm just like grateful to be able to get on the phone because I totally wasn't expecting
to.
I'm like totally lost. And so anything you have to say, I'm sure would be help.
I don't think it's you that's lost. I mean, you've got some really dynamic planets happening here. Your sun sign is in Virgo and it's next to Pluto. Pluto's all about alchemy, transformation, death. Rebirth, and then Uranus, the planet of shock and upheaval that leads to great awakening, connects to sovereignty and truth. That's like right next to your sun, both of those planets. They're the planets that help to upgrade us and help us to go through the initiations we need to go through in order to be on the ascension path. And then you got Mercury on the other side of it, which really heightens your mind and connects you to all this. So you must get a lot of epiphanies and like downloads and but it looks like you have always been very different than the family you were born into. These planets happen to be in the fourth house. It looks like, though, you've got enough freedom to be able to get to know yourself, like you were given some kind of independence to be able to maintain this sort of energy without it getting blocked. I don't know.
I think it totally gets blocked, and I feel lost, and I just never know. It's more like a lot of it's been I just, like, feel so much. It's like almost so intense, my emotions and just feelings. I can walk in a Hallmark and just like start crying, reading cards and just feeling people really intensely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it also hooks up to Neptune. So there had to be a point somewhere in your upbringing where you're really able to own these energies of yours. But when you're a kid, it's a lot easier because you can play outside. You're not dealing with the outer world. Because, okay, basically your sun sign next to all these really advanced and amazing planets is opposite Saturn, which is next to Chiron, the wounded healer, right? You bounce back and forth between feeling the limitations of this density around you. But that's why I said you're not the one who's lost, right? So you're going to feel into the Saturn next to Chiron. So Saturn has to do with matrix energies, but it's not limited to that. But then Chiron has to do with wounds and the path towards knowledge, but the things that, you know, just feel like an injury, right? So that happens to be in the 10th house.
Yes.
And that
gets
right to your father.
I'm very
and
scared
your,
to
your,
get myself out there in the world.
And this might also have to do with something with your father, but somehow in the 4th house, which is how you were raised, you were given enough freedom or space or just you just were able to tune into all this. But as you emerge into the adult world, it gets freakier and freakier. And so the whole process of you growing up has been probably incredibly daunting and difficult. But you have to remember that you conforming to what it means to become adult is where you're going to feel lost and stuck because you're meant to do everything on your own terms. The minute you try and do it any differently, it's going to completely make you feel blocked, but this is not your block. This is the block that overlays humanity. It's the net. It's the web that is encasing humanity in this false system. But that's not your block, but you feel lost in the density it's showing me. And you, you know, will emerge eventually when people are ready for you. And a lot of like-minded people are. A lot of people are ready to know somebody like you, but you need to find more like-minded community. Your north node, which is the direction your soul wants you to go in, is in the 11th house that has to do with unity and community. The only way that it's going to be really easy the only way you're going to be able to acclimate into this world that exists around you is to find like-minded people. Because if you just try and, you know, play human and be out and about just meeting whoever, it's like you need people that are really switched on and are on the same page because you'll mistake their blocks for your blocks. And then that'll make you feel really, you know, so I'm sure your progress chart shows how much things have changed for you, but you have to remember who you are.
I'm all like in Scorpio now. but it's the Scorpio.
Yeah, so,
my sun and Venus are pretty much conjunct within 1 degree, but it's in my fourth house still.
Right. So when we talk on the phone, we can look at your progress chart, but what's great to see in this natal chart is that you can return to the foundation of, you know, who you are. That's going to make everything easier. I mean, I do have some of your progress aspects in relation to this. Your sun is next to Venus in Scorpio, and it's right conjunct Neptune in the fifth house of creativity as far as how it interacts with your natal chart. So creativity is a massive outlet. Anything that you can do, music, art-wise, sound healing, anything for you to just express and share this incredible vibration you have, you're going to move in a position of more of a teacher and a healer and a guide. But you need more like-minded people to help you to feel more shielded, more seen, more validated, more understood. You know, you need all that because we can't just like immerse
that's very
in the
true.
World. With Matrix program people and expect it's going to be easy. You need definitely some like-minded people in your world, and that's where your soul wants you to go. And
I truly do look for that. You know, I mean, I like search on the internet just for different groups or this and that, and it just, it always seems like dead ends. But I truly have to say that when I seen that you had like some type of a, you know, this, just your shows have helped just like within a week, just like totally ease my mind and feel more comfortable. So I'm grateful for them.
Well, that's really what my hope is that even though we're not all together in the physical, that it feels like a community. The private group on Facebook, Cosmic Gaia, you know, is to really just be open and be yourself and just share what you're going through. And there's so much compassionate love and support and understanding there. And I check messages there as much as I can. And then, you know, there's sessions that we can do and call-in shows. And so, you know, I just really feel we all need to navigate this together and just support one another and be able to be real and authentic and understand ourselves more through this wonderful tool of astrology. So I'm really glad you subscribed, and you have incredible, really great energies. And Uranus in the sky right now, the transiting Uranus, is going to be crossing over your North Node. So in the next year is going to be huge for a lot of powerful connections to take place. And I think you'll feel a lot more comfortable in this world, feel a lot more comfortable being who you are. And the word lost is going to be a thing of the past. I really feel that that's something that's going to happen in the next year. And these eclipses are, you know, it's going to be more powerful than the one mid-month, you know, July 16th, because it's going to hit your first house. The relationship one is, you know, that can be strong too, but I think both is just really about looking at what
you
your
needs
are.
My ascendant as Cancer? Is my ascendant Cancer? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I am in a relationship now, so that was making me nervous. Like, oh, I'm going to lose my boyfriend
or something.
But there is some tricky stuff going on there because his mom moved in and it totally set our relationship back. So.
Well, the polarity of energy for these eclipses is the house of relationship, which is the Capricorn end, which is going to be strong July 16th to 17th. And then July 2nd, which is recent, is going to, and I think I accidentally said the other way around, but just to rephrase. So the July 2nd eclipse is going to impact your first house of self. Or maybe I did say that. It's going to impact your house of self and what your needs are. And then by the time the next eclipse happens, you're going to be able to reevaluate things in your relationship. And so this is a really, really powerful eclipse window for you being really strong in who you are and seeing how that blends with the relationship energies and then doing what you can to take the relationship energies to the next level. But if it feels a little rocky and bumpy, that's to be expected because a lot of change is ready to happen. And you've got Pluto and Saturn crossing through your seventh house, which is all about transformation. But then the Saturn could be about something long-term, or it means that it's good to move on because there's something better. But when we work together one-on-one, it'll be a lot easier to look at what this relationship is all about and what you're going through, because the energies that you will be dealing with are the energies of self, which is the Aries house, which is where Cancer is for you, and then the relationship house, which is Capricorn. And so this is definitely between you and relationship, something that these eclipses will totally light up. So anyway, I'm glad we'll be able to talk. And did you schedule a 15-minute session already?
Actually, I did like my 15-minute free one and then a 30-minute one, but they didn't have openings until August. So
Okay,
I can
if you need to
email
get
you
earlier,
see if we can.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm sorry if the line isn't the best, and if I don't mean to talk over you at all. But if you find, you know, you have to wait too long and you want to connect before the second phase of the eclipse, you know, before July 16th or 17th, you know, just send me an email and I'll get you in the calendar.
Okay, I will definitely do that. Thank you so much. You are just so much help. I just don't even know what to say, but thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm back with 703. Is this Marta?
Hello. Yes, hello. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. Okay, so let me get you back and remind me where we left off.
I'm not sure. You were talking about being in the 12th house and my planets lined up and Leo.
Oh, yeah. Yes, so there's something. Okay, so your north node is in the 4th house. And it forms a triangle with Neptune and also this huge lineup of planets. So there might be a lot of energy that you're going to want to put into your living situation or your home or something connected to family members or family. That also you have incredible gifts and artistry. I don't know if like you're a designer or somebody that you can just dream up anything and like manifest it and like create like beautiful like environments around you. It just seems like you're an artist with like nature and home and the dwelling of home, creating a sanctuary out of home, or at least this, your soul energy saying, hey, if you're not doing this already, you're going to want to check this out. Saturn has some difficult aspects, so there might have been like a big delay on feeling like you could really fully express your true like power on a creative level. But the more you move into your north node, which is always in front of us, something we're always integrating, you will just really like, I mean, the sky's the limit as far as where you can go with your creative energy to really set up an incredible sort of temple sanctuary space for yourself. You have a lot of past life memories of playing a position of really giving to a lot of people and extending yourself to a lot of people. And in this lifetime, it's saying, you know, don't be afraid to just completely take care of you or nurture the space or give, you know, a nurturing space to others. So that could be also a profession. I don't know. Before I go on further, what are your thoughts?
Well, I did train as an interior designer. I didn't work in it very long because it was all about sales, and I'm not a salesperson. But I've always been really interested in feng shui, and I've started doing that a little bit more lately. So,
okay. Well, that's like the perfect career for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Home design, artistry, and you know, and for yourself. So. Whatever you want to do with that is, you know, obviously up to you. I mean, you have a strong Saturn, so that's going to put it into the, you know, like a career or a focus. But because it's a squared aspect, there's certain things that you could do without. And so, you know, everything else can be, well, what works for you? Your capacity to extend yourself into just the realms of all that's possible, because your imagination and just intelligence and intuition and just like everything, you can just like reach in and just bring in all these incredible ideas and just manifest it. And gosh, it'd be really wonderful to live in a home you designed, I'll tell you that, or your own. So yeah, you're just incredibly skilled. So when there's a lineup of planets concentrated in one area, it just really shows, you know, a person that's incredibly skilled in a particular area. So it's not just design, that's just what, you know, your soul like is saying, this is a great place to move these energies and channel these energies. But it also just shows what a just what an incredibly multidimensionally aware being you are, just a very like just a very powerful spiritual being, and it just comes so natural. Sometimes we feel like we need to complicate spirituality, but it's very natural, really. So, you know, just keep listening to yourself and make any adjustments that, you know, like you are doing, to just, feel the tranquility that's available to you and the bliss that's available to you. And, you know, the more you step away from feeling the need to overextend yourself for others, kind of the better, because you've done that for multiple lifetimes. And this is really, you know, the balance of taking care of your needs needs to not be less than the needs of others, you know. And this eclipse energy is actually affecting your 11th house that has to do with friends and community, and also later in the month the fifth house of creativity, and it's very close to Chiron, the wounded healer. So you are really focused in this particular eclipse window of any injuries to your spiritual nature or even inner child. Some of that might light up to kind of help you to feel more comfortable maybe in groups or more community. Like maybe there's just some pieces there, but you might have cleared it years ago also. But just sort of a reminder to just enjoy the now and maybe gather with people that you can just really create a good time with. And that's kind of what the eclipse window looks like. And if there's any resistances, when you feel that urge and you notice you talking yourself out of it, that might be something you want to clear.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Appreciate well, thanks it. For subscribing and for calling.
All right, thank you.
Okay, you're Bye-bye. Welcome. Bye. Hey there, I got 732 on the line. Hello? Shoot, I always do that.
Hey.
Hey there.
Hi,
sorry,
this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
No, hi, you already spoke to me, but I wasn't able to get your show on the computer, so I called back when we lost all connection. So you answered all my questions. I'm so fascinated. I wished I had said thank you more, and I love following you with your work with Ben and Rob and David and Corey, and I've enjoyed just listening to you. So I will let the next person get their time in. So thank you, Laura, for everything you do.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I think I'm actually closing the show, and I have a bit of a sore throat, and I think you're the last caller for at least today. So I'm just going to close it up, and thanks so much for calling, and we'll be in contact more in the future.
Oh, I hope your throat feels much better. Thank you so much. You've got so many words of wisdom in there.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you,
Laura.
Have
a great eclipse.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so I guess it's time to close the show. I don't know who's still hanging around, but yeah, you know, if you find this to be helpful, send this information to others about the podcast. My website's cosmicgaia.org, and check out the events that are coming up. There's an expo in Philadelphia in September. There's one in Arizona in October. There's a Mount Shasta event in September. All sorts of things. Still a lot of events happening with the rest of the year. If you weren't able to call in and you're listening to the archive and you want to talk before the eclipse and there's no room on the calendar, we probably won't be able to make it before July 2nd, but for sure contact me. We can get you in before July 16th and 17th. And I really appreciate everybody tuning in, and have a wonderful eclipse time. I will definitely do another show when this other one comes along, because it's going to be very powerful with a Pluto conjunction, and we can, you know, kind of catch up with how the first phase of it all went. And I'm going to actually put out a video, hopefully, that goes into more detail. Anyway, everybody have a great night, and thanks again for tuning in. Bye-bye.